Amen, 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 amen. Truly, truly, truly a privilege, a privilege. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Whew, man, time went by this year. We're about to close this year out and begin a new year, brand new, never been used before. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day message plan. Amen. I'm enjoying this. Amen. It's interesting. You know, it's after you've been in this a while, you have an idea what God is doing, and you really, it helps you to place yourself closer to Him. Amen. Because as the songwriter said, it is a privilege. Amen. I mean, everybody don't get this privilege. Amen. Amen. Everybody don't get to receive. Everybody have a chance to receive this revelation, but everybody don't. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a powerful name. Amen. And all the saints and friends through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And to the Lord God Jehovah and all the saints and friends and pastors and teachers and preachers and amen. I say praise the Lord. You know, it's a blessing to be and to know what is going on, where is this going. And you know, sometimes you have to sit back and think, ponder what God is going to do. You know, I mean, I think about the fact, you know, it's mind-boggling when you think about even if you were to even think about it, if we knew we were going to live just only another 5,000 years. Think of how long that is. Think about how you've been here this little while. You know, I'm 70. 5,000 out of 70, that's nothing. That's really nothing. And it's 365 days in 1 year. You know, in the first part of the Bible, the book of Genesis, they were living 1,000 years. That was God's plan. But, you know, our plans were already, and the challenge was to make it, man. But he knew this. Amazing. You know, God is an awesome person. Let's go before the throne. Let's go to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before you. Hallelujah. This is one last time. Amen. I believe before, amen, the new year begins. Father God, we ask you right now that you would bless each and every listener. Bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we would more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us. Help us to understand this power. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. And I thank you, Lord, that you would bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you would bless us, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say unto them and even unto me. Blessed Lord, amen. I want it to be all of you and none of me. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I trust you have had a blessed Christmas, and I know you did if you're listening to me now. Amen. Even if this is, you know, I'm serious about being after the rapture. This is something, you know, I saw a movie once about the rapture. And in the movie, they had the people that got left behind, even though T.D. Jakes had another name in the movie, and he had left a video behind for those who got left behind. And, you know, just as it was with Noah, for those of you in FYI, on YouTube now, they are showing the interior shots of Noah's Ark. And that is awesome. Those pictures were taken back in 2009, and there's been a battle to get them out. And, you know, God does things in his own time. See, that situations like that with Noah's Ark and the Shroud of Turin, which was Jesus' burial cloth. I know some new people. The Shroud of Turin was the cross that Jesus was buried in, and when the glory set back in on him when he was resurrected, it burned his imprint in the cloth. And last I heard, there has been over $100 million trying to prove that imprint was painted in or burned in or lasered in, but all efforts failed. Amen. It was burnt in by the glory of God when he was resurrected. Amen. And these things are, it was in Michigan, I think around 1998 or something. It was in Grand Rapids. This is back in Turin, Italy now. These things are really, they're not to convince us that Jesus is and that God is. They will actually be, if you've ever been to a court case, they will be used as evidence against those who choose to reject Jesus. See, and you get your revelation from the end. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Christ. We're talking about the power of God, amen, being on the inside of us, that we're supposed to be learning how to operate in that. And for the benefit of my new friends and that I've met recently and that are new to this whole idea of thinking, I know it's phenomenal. But as I've said, everything about us really is phenomenal. I mean, the fact that I can talk, I mean, the process that I go through to talk, the process that you go through to hear is conducted by your spirit. And that came when God created Adam, because God severed off a part of his spirit called a breath and gave it, and it became his own person of known as Adam. And the name Adam means mankind, okay? And man is a God-class creature, small g, always spelled with a small g. There's only going to be one large g. And because of that, none of us will go every day totally, completely sin-free. That was just a given. Amen. You know, God did not make a mistake, because he understand from day one what love is and how love operates. And it was his intention. We are the ones that have to learn that. And if you study history, you will see that is not so easily done by a lot of people, particularly highly intelligent people. They tend to really struggle with that. They easily can be manipulated by Satan, because, you know, someone once said that the best trick Satan ever pulled was convincing people he did not exist. So he tricked them into thinking that they mind is their own and not his, because they don't know his methodology. And that is why he exists, because it's for us to learn the difference between his methodology or rebellious methodology rather than submissive methodology. Some people may even hate that word, but guess what? If you didn't pick your birthday and you don't know your death day, your best bet is to become submissive. But it's not a bad deal considering what God is offering. We are at the second phase of mankind, and we still have these limitations. You know, I've been talking about the Christ trying to help you raise your mind to the point of recognizing that term Christ is an encumbering term, is an enhancing term, is not Jesus' last name for sure, but it speaks of a connection of the power of God in a man and on a man to do the work of God. And a lot of things we do now, we won't do too much of when Jesus himself comes back on the planet. We will be doing some things. But the point is that I try to get people to see my little piece of this puzzle is to help you understand now with reference to modern technology, how we're able to get a better look at what is really going on. You know, I was pondering what happens when a person is healed. I want to start at least with our key scripture, but this time I want to read the Matthew version, at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Matter of fact, make that Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, okay? And we're going to read down to 17. And I will be reading this time out of the New International Version. For those that understand, don't know, versions and their versions of the Bible and translations. But anyway, and they draft them, they develop them off of the original text. The original Bibles, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek, which that's vital information. You will often hear pastors or teachers or preachers quoting and identifying or highlighting certain words in the original language so that, you know, you will understand that the context is in alignment with the thought and it being properly used, because if you be around this long enough, you will find people that will misuse it. But here we're using this, read this and listen to this. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this is verse 17 is very key. So Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven." Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, I got a book coming out. I've been at it now because COVID has slowed everything down. And the book has a lot of the content of what I've been teaching in this program of Training Day. I address the issue of why God lets Satan exist and who is the Holy Spirit and who is Jesus and what is man and why was he created as what is tithing and giving, some basic things that Christians need to know. And the significance is when I became a Christian back in 1976, when I became a serious Christian, a lot of these books did not exist. And it was still, Christianity was still kind of in the dark ages. Churches were places where you went, if you went on Sunday, you got dressed, put your shirt and tie on, went, and you came home, and you barely remember what you heard at service. Whereas today, you have teachers of the word, which is how Jesus put the word out and how the apostles put the word out versus the exhortation type ministries. They were preeminent back then, not so much so now, because people need to understand that we are in a battle, because it's part of our training process. The training process is because God is going to give the victors, those that make it through this part of life, full access to the power within. And this is the point. This is critical. See, and one of the reason I brought this up about what Jesus said and that God has revealed this, in my book, I was inspired to put a short prayer at the beginning of every chapter. You know, I'm a believer, and I know others are too, that you never read the Bible without praying first. You never read a book about the Bible without praying first. Don't watch a video. Always invite God in to give you revelation, because oftentimes you will find he will give you revelation that even the person speaking might not have. Oftentimes, most preachers and teachers will tell you, they'll go back and they'll re-listen to messages, and they'll take notes on what was said because it wasn't part of their notes. You know, I realize there are some people that write out their whole sermon. I've yet to do that. All my written sermons are coming out in a book. The book is going to call The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion, but I'll share that with you when it's actually in production. All right. So this was our base scripture here, you know, about Christ and that fact that we talked about the fact that Christ, amen, I'm reviewing because, you know, it's been a while. We went through the Christmas process and people tend to forget things. Christ means the anointed one, the anointing. And the anointing means somebody gave you power. And this in this particular case, power, because if you in verse 16, he says, "You are Christ, the Son of the Living God." Now you got to understand culturally back then, and then even now, people entertain more than one God. But there's only one true God, and that issue is about to be settled with the event called the Rapture. Oh, that's going to shake up a lot of people's beliefs and ideologies because we're the only ones that are expecting such an event. And even some of us, they don't have an agreement on when and how it's going to happen. I leave that to God. See, because there's some things, you know, I'm learning some things that we may have, we were in dark of because God didn't want us to know, just as they had asked Jesus about the end time. And he really told them and assured that he said, his statement was, no man know, nor the angels, only God. Now, at the time, 2,000 years ago, they didn't need to know, because they didn't have all the elements that would be necessary in the end time, or that would be manifested, brought about by man. Let me make this clear. What's written in particularly the book of Revelation, you have to discern the difference between God's will and man's will. The book of Revelation is based on the fact that God, unlike any other individual, matter of fact, he is the only person. I'm talking about the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai, El Elyon. Those are all his names because they all reference an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. He is the only one that knows the future. See, you think back, we talked about Christ, how in Isaiah, it spoke of how he would be born, where he would be born, how he would be beaten beyond recognition. We didn't read that part, but that's in Isaiah chapter 53. He says his visage or his face was marred more than any man. And then to give you an idea, Jesus took what would be commonly referred to as a racist beating. He was beat by the Romans who hated Jews. So, you know, you can imagine how he looked. You know, I'm tempted to try to draw a picture because it seemed like people were too chicken to show it. But that's the price God paid. That shows the love that God had for him. And see, and the point is, now again, the point of this, as a, quote, Christian, right now in this time and era, you need to be leaning toward God, to be used of him, to glorify his name. You know, I had a situation yesterday, and I'm still learning this process of, I know the minister, you know, I know when to go forward or to back off by the way the person received it. But I ran across a man hey, man, I decided to do some Uber. I only did like 4 trips. I rarely do more than that. Anyway, he was a deaf mute. He was deaf. Amen. And I'm pondering, you know, I didn't get a chance to, I didn't know how to address him because I just wanted to lay hands on him. Now, let me tell you something real quick about laying hands. I'm not going to teach you on that right now. When you pray for someone, it says that Matthew, Mark chapter 16, it said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, okay? That's all you do. You don't have to pray a long prayer. You don't have to. You just have to be right with God, believe God, and just lay hands on them. It's up to God. See, now, if they don't receive immediately, that ain't on you. That's between them and God. There's be a lot of issues. Some people God have rejected. Yeah, God do reject people. That's why there's a place called hell. All right, so what we're talking about here is the Christ. We're talking about us having the power of God. Now, I did want to go back and touch a little bit in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus announced his coming, or at least allows his ministry. And let's see. All right. Okay. You can go back and read it. It's really interesting. It says in verse 6, Luke 4:16, it says he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up and read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news," or the gospel, "to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, that's have been transferred to us. That's what the term Christian means. That job, he's gone, and he expects us to carry that out. This is why we have to, you got to get beyond, you got to move forward to the place of letting God direct your life on a daily basis. What you do on your job, how you deal with people, visiting your relatives, visiting friends. You're God's ministry on the earth. This is what this is about. That's how you will be exposed to the power of God at a greater level. You know, I just heard a comment earlier today as I was listening to a teacher, and it made sense to me. And you tell me what you think. He said, the anointing is God's overflow upon his people. The anointing is God's overflow. Let me get this. I was missing something. God's overflow of the life of Jesus on his people. Now, if you think about that, we walking around with power. Now, if you've been around a while, and I have, you will find that men, I haven't heard of a woman abusing that power and authority or misusing it for the purpose of personal financial gain. That's been one of the ugly sides of Christianity. Sad that it can be done, you know, because one thing about how this life works is that, you know, I will hear people talk about crooked preachers. And that has false prophets is an old term. It goes all the way back before the flood. If there hadn't been any before the flood, we would not. There probably wouldn't have been a flood, okay? But, you know, that's a given because, again, Satan presents ideology that is opposite of God. And the reason he exists is because God cannot do that. If God says something different other than what he has said before, it changes history. It becomes what he said. See, so he cannot lie. God cannot lie. God cannot deceive. God can't do these things. So for us, though, as individuals, that's important, thinking, decision-making individuals, it is pertinent that we understand that concept. Case in point, one of the hotbed issues in the United States of America right now is abortion. According to Jeremiah 1:5, God said, and I think I should read that because just for the record's sake, turn that to Jeremiah 1:5, and it just simply said, the word of the Lord, 1:4 said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You were born, before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Now, everybody, that applies to everybody. Everybody got a role. You know, again, I was listening to a teaching, and one of the things about being successful, to me, successful in life is you have to make it to heaven. Having a lot of money don't mean you're successful. I know somebody recently died, the bus held wide open because of the lifestyle they live, but to the world, they might have looked like a successful person. But that ain't the case, okay? Life begins in the heart of God, not in the womb of a woman. That's a point of transfer. And the fact that it has a spirit, it has that capability, look at that. Remember I talked about in the recent weeks of how a sperm goes and finds the egg, identifies all the cells in it, know which ones to acquiesce and to begin the formulation of building bones and muscle and all the various organs that we have in our body. That is quite a complicated task for something that we take so lightly. And that is why the demand of life is as it is. God don't want us to misunderstand that. That is why this is wasn't a snap issue of just make man and we live happily ever after. No. Because, again, when Jesus come back, a lot of the limitations, for one, gravity. We won't have to deal. Gravity won't control us. Weather, cold, hot, heat won't affect us. You know, you'll be able to eat. I'm going to love this part. Eat, enjoy food, and not get fat. How about that? I'm going to really enjoy that part. Okay, but the point is, I don't want to lose this thought. Now, to the world, and primarily in America, you know, and only recently, and they say they have the right to do what they want. Well, see, in that case, when you meet somebody that thinks that way, don't debate with them. Titus 3:8-3:9 tell us, do not debate. And it says it in other places. You can't change a person's mind. I don't care what you show them. If all of life hasn't shown them there is God, you can't offer them anything. But you can do this. When I was praying at the beginning, when you pray for somebody to receive the spirit of wisdom, okay, that's an authority you have as a Christian. That means that God then can interact to help them to see things as he does so that their mind will unite with his mind. It has to happen that way. It can't happen any other way. You can have evidence means nothing to them when they can't even understand the simplicity of the fact that a sperm and an egg creates the rest of the body. I mean, that's too deep. I mean, you eat food and you don't sit down and imagine a chemical analysis and break it down. The old spirit does that. Okay? All right. So that point here. So, again, this leads toward the fact that God is going to give us, we are closing up on that period where we go to the next level of authority, the next level that, see, God's evolution ain't like man. Now, I know man like, but he almost right. There is an evolvement process, but it's just three phases and it ain't trillions of years. All right. So, and again, if you go back over the other ones, I've been trying to show that all this activity in the Bible of the power of God, the anointing, the Spirit of God, all that's synonymous with the power that God wants us to have access to, but we have to have evolved to the place where we see it as he does. You know, during the 1,000-year period, okay, the transition at the point of the rapture, we shall be like Jesus. That's what it says in 1 John 3:2, we shall be as he is. I think we take that too lightly, and I know for a fact there are several portions of the body of Christ that teach that opposite of what they're saying, and despite the evidence of what we are right now, how my eyes can take and interact and see the molecules and identify them and know that what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing. I mean, the process of light, if you study how light impacts the molecules that you see, it's incredible. All right. So despite all that, despite the fact that I can move my hands and send trillions of signals in a quarter of a millisecond, they think there's going to be a simple process, even with the fact those of us that know that when a person dies, what do? They don't even take their body. They don't even take their body. They take their intelligence. They take their spirit, which has no limitations. And there have been thousands of people that God have taken to the other side and shown them what happens, even children. And, you know, children, I just recently heard a testimony of a 3-year-old that is just astounding. They were too young to tell a lie like that. They knew what they saw. They knew who they saw. You know, even got incidents in the Bible, okay? So, the whole point is not to underestimate and to be available for God to use in these last days, because he's going to glorify his name, and he's going to use us to do it. See, it's imperative that you get this. It's imperative that you get this. Now, I want to go to something that the Lord gave me that is very important, and that is in the book of John, chapter 3, okay? Because it lends to becoming a Christian, okay? Christian. I said I was going to look up some etymology to explain how they get the "and," but, okay, we'll get there. Because this is what the whole Bible is about. It is all about us becoming who God wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do, to carry out his will. You know, now I'm going to tell y'all something. Remember this. This is what, December 28th, 2021, you know, they just lost what they call the Webb telescope out in the space. It's going to travel for a month. It's going to be 1,000,000 miles out in space. I'm of the mindset that the universe is so big that they just going to get bigger, closer pictures, but they still won't see the face of a planet because of a star. I really don't, you know, I have a different mindset. In Psalm 147, it says, God called them by name. I don't think they are what we think they are, but that's another whole issue. But the one thing about it is they would get a picture of the glory of God. Because he's in charge of that. He's the one expanding the universe, and we're going to serve him throughout the universe. It's going to take them 30 days to launch a satellite out there. You'll be able to travel that same 1,000,000 miles. By the time you complete the thought, you will be there. Now, I don't want to get off into what all that entails. That's technologically an impossibility, scientifically an impossibility. But spiritually, that's what we are. This flesh body is designed to help us to learn the proper behavior God wants us to have when we have access to that power. All right. Now, John 3:3. Now, you got to let your mind get into this. You got to don't just, like I said, pray about it. Let God speak, because you can imagine back then how this impacted this man named Nicodemus. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees. Pharisees was a religious organization, and it was started by the Jews, okay? Anyway, and as long as they didn't break God's law, he was good with it. So anyway, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Got to have order. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. He said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus said, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Now, I don't know how Jesus goes on to explain it, but you can imagine it has the same impact today. People don't grasp it. Because, see, what we look for, we in this level of life, we look for some identifiers. We want to feel something. We want to see something. So this is a faith walk. Faith will always go where your mind can't get to. Remember that. Faith will go where your mind can't get to. And that's part of the training process. Because God will send you, he wants you to understand there's another level of consciousness that called the spirit realm that we really, we have access to it. But as we mature the things of God, we have even more access to it. But then comes the responsibility for that revelation, because then God will send you to do his will, and he'll send you to places you might not be comfortable with in the norm, okay? But because you now know or believe in the power of God at a different level than average, you know that you'll be all right. That's bottom line on that. God is going to be doing miraculous works. I'm confident in that. I've heard it. I'm not the only one that think that way. And he's preparing people. I know within everybody, every church, there's this segment and group that is growing. Traditionally, it's been 20%. I think it's up to 30% because one of what Mr. COVID is shaping up a lot of people. All right. But the fact is, look at what he's talking about. He's saying being born again. See, we're talking about, again, God, he could have started this with Adam, or he could have started this with Noah, but he chose at this particular time to start this. Jesus could have been born another 1,000 years earlier. God, there's a scripture in there saying the fullness of time. He does everything at a time. And this is an FYI for my new people. Okay, because the question was, what happened to all the people who were born and died before Jesus? I don't want to get off into Luke chapter 16, but and the scripture bear it out, and if you see God about it, he will always confirm it. When Jesus died, okay, in them 3 days he was in the earth, one of them days, the last day, I'm guessing, I'm assuming, he preached to those who had died. That's in the book of Peter, okay? He preached to the soul that was in prison. Now, hell, Hades, was split up. There were two parts. One part was paradise, where everybody was living large, enjoying themselves, and Eve being healthy and all that. And on the other side was torturous. That is an account of that in Luke chapter 16, you know? And when Jesus left, he took those that were in paradise with him to heaven, and there somebody, this man of God that had been over there, spoke of the fact that they have teaching over there. Because a lot of things that we have been taught, they weren't taught. Everybody that's in the Bible never had a Bible. That's the, you know, you read about Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah, Obadiah, and Paul and Peter and James. And the only one that had the full word was Jesus, you know. And you go to John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And in verse 14, it said the word became flesh. So, see, we're talking about something far beyond our normal pattern of thinking, but you have to let your mind accept that reality. Because it does God no good to try to take you to a level and you can't get past this one. Sadly, a vast majority of the body Christ is stuck at point one. And their lives are probably full of trauma and drama because of that. See, you know, if you got to let yourself grow in the spirit. See, this is no way this is norm. Man would not even come up with this. What man would have thought to be born again? Now, that perception is you can be reincarnated. And from what I've studied about reincarnation, that's a bad deal. You leave here as a human, you come back, and you don't know what it's going to be, depending on what you was. And then, you know, and they don't know what the cycle is. This here is talking about your spirit man, you being born again. If you go back and review some of the teaching, I explain the process of how the anointing process, how the Bible used as a reference, how Aaron, the priest, the priesthood, and how they were washed, the blood was applied. Then the oil was poured on them. And that's, if you go back and you look at what Jesus said here, he said, except the man, in verse 5, he said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Born of water and of the Spirit. Okay, and then later on it talks about washing and regeneration of the word. He's not talking about, you know, I know people think that's about water baptism, but he's talking about a life-giving substance, actually. This is, again, I'm saying all this to just highlight the fact that Christ is not Jesus' last name, and Christian is not a religion. It is the culmination of what God intended for man to become. There are copycats. Everything else is a copycat. I'm going to be quite frank right here. Anybody not worshiping the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, the only true living God, is involved with the devil. But again, you can't convince them of that. You have to pray them out of that, and we have been successful at that. I mean, it's a lot of growth. Right now, I'm being told still the greatest growth is over there in the Middle East. While here in America, people are declining right now. Not understanding this and not being close to God has a detriment to you. In the fact that I believe that, you know, a lot of the storms that are going on, I'm seeing a pattern. I watch these short clips of the disasters that are occurring daily, as Jesus said they would. Volcanoes popping off daily and running on for months. They can be stopped if enough of the people know how to use the power of God according to his word. But most Christians have never read the whole New Testament. So Satan taking full advantage of them. You know, he has authority in the earth. He can cause a volcano to pop off. He can cause a Cat 5 hurricane. He can do that, but he can be stopped by enough believers that can pray and take authority over the prince of the power there. But they don't know that. Some don't believe that. You have portions of Christians that don't believe in miracles. So they don't. So if you've got... Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you don't believe it, he's not going to try to convince you to. He's just going to find somebody to do. All right. All right. So we, I know a rather lengthy review, but, you know, I mean, it's been a week. I think I might have to do this more often. All right. So we talked about being born again. This is what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't think because you haven't, you didn't feel nothing. I want to look at some things that Jesus did. Let's look at one particular, let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, because this is something, this is really an astounding event that occurred, and it says, beginning with verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22, it said, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd, okay? And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when the eventide came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified as a boat, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Okay. Now, I don't want to get too proud later on after that. Peter, being the brave one, asked Jesus after a check, and he Peter walked on the water too. But think about that process. See, again, remember I just said a little few minutes ago about being able to travel a million miles with faith at the feet of thought without you burning up to a crisp. I mean, this is what happened to meteors, and they only traveling like 30,000 miles an hour. And when they enter our atmosphere, they completely dissipate, in most cases, depending on the size of it. They break up. But you'll be able to move faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, without burning up. Now, here, this is called complete command of the molecular environment. It's a process that actually occurs at the speed of light. And this is going to be the capability of every Christian. You know, it's hard for people to grasp that reality. But, you know, again, for me to say a word, for me to say you in a millisecond, my spirit has to send my brain billions of specified signals at a certain level with a certain amount of energy because, I mean, and then my brain has to send trillions of signals to my vocal cords, to each and every individual cell. And the thing about mastery is, like, you can tell a person that can sing well, their spirit has mastered more control of the cellular activity. That's what allowed them to have that smooth voice. These are the minor areas of life, and I can't overemphasize this. You know, this is why this is to help you understand when you hear your pastor talking about living right. God is not going to let people that don't want to do what he say do, how he say do, when he say do, have full access to the power. Now, we're doing this with just 15%. What Jesus did walking on the water takes 100%. What Jesus did, let's look at another instance. Let's go to John chapter 20. That walking on the water, that was before his resurrection. I need you to get your mind to where this is and what this is about. Okay? All right. I'm still here. All right. Okay. See, I'm switching Bibles. Just give me a moment. All right. There we go. Okay. Wow. But anyway, in verse, I'm going to read John chapter 20, the book of John. There are four Johns for my new people. There's John, and then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They're later on in the Bible called epistles. Okay. But this is in the section with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So in verse 26, it says, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be to you. Now, picture this. I mean, in verse 19, he did that again. He did that before. Again, you're talking about, now imagine some of the people that you know. Think about some of the criminal activity that has gone on in the world. And, you know, think about places like Fort Knox, you know, that has all the gold in America. If a person could do that and know they could get in there and get the gold without being caught, they would do that. They could get the gold, go and hide it on the moon, and then come back acting like ain't nothing happened. This is why in Matthew 22, verses 37-39, Jesus emphasized two things, that you have to learn to love God and love your neighbor. Loving God is to allow him to develop you through the challenges and trials that you go through in life. And I can tell you right now, there are going to be days when you want to throw your hands up in the air and want to quit. All I can suggest is just take a break, you know, take a break and then regroup. But then don't hesitate to ask God what it is you need to know. Because it's different for everyone. And a lot of times, a lot of people's challenges, a lot of challenges that people are facing now, they don't realize I've been a Christian for 5 years. And God is not going to let me have the same latitude that he would be for somebody that just got saved last week or 5 years ago or 2 years ago. He expects me to respond based on how his word states. Now, it ain't up to him to make me read the Bible. He provided it. He gave me access to the Bible. He gave me access to him. And if I don't utilize that, if I don't exercise that, and I get beat down by the devil, that's on me. And the Bible tells us in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. Now, that's a lot of reasons for that. Well, not a lot of reasons. Two, I can think of. Some people going to get burnt out with trial. Some people are actually going to fall away due to high levels of prosperity that's coming. Because if you don't love God, money will show it. If you don't love God, money will show it. It has shown itself many times. Look what we got situation. We got homeless and billionaires. That should not be. God don't have a problem with billionaires. Abraham was very rich, but he ain't had no homeless people. See, there's a balance because it ain't yours. It never will be. When you leave here, if you've been to a funeral, you notice you don't even take a body with you. You don't take nothing. There's no U-Hauls connected to casket. So, again, we're at the center section, I would say, of the anointing or Christ. And next week when I come, which will be a new year, then we're going to go into the transference of the power from Jesus to us. Matter of fact, before I close, I want to read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, so that you'll know who got the power. He got the power. And in verse 18, it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, students, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that is where we are going to pick up next week. Because that's powerful right there. I've had people debate me over, you know, the name of God. It isn't the issue. When you're in Christ, you have access to God, okay? Jesus has full, we're going to see in the word, Jesus has, if I access, for me to get to God, who is the only person that can answer prayer, I have to go through Jesus, okay? I can't, without him, I can't get access. The mindset, case in point, you don't have, I don't hear other people talking about intercession or being part of a priesthood to the degree where God don't move to save anyone unless a Christian pray for them to be saved first. That's part of love your neighbor, okay? But in order for me to get to that holy place, to the holy of holies, to the holiest of the holies, I have to come through Jesus. I have to wear his name. That works both ways. I mean, this ain't the norm. This ain't what you would learn in most colleges, okay? But I'm telling you, we are in 2022. According to the Bible, okay, there are these patterns of 7 years, okay? And then the 7 years, the Sabbath year, all right? This past Saturday was the seventh Saturday. Every 7 years, you can go back and check your calendar. Every 7 years, and the Saturday, it will be a Saturday, okay? Just like next year will be Sunday, every 7 years. These are markers through history that identify God do great things on those periods. And 2022 is the beginning of a Shemitah, S-H-E-M-I-T-A-H. You need to look that up and study it and find out, because God is, as I was saying earlier, even though Jesus said no man knows when the end is, God historically always warns. Our pastor had us repeat that like 5 times. God always warns. He's not trying to be secretive because he wants us to understand what this is about. This ain't about a surprise. I mean, most Christians know we're in the last day. One thing I find throughout, even the Pope, which is surprisingly, have been reading about the last day. He asked, there's a video, might be on still on YouTube, of him speaking on the last day. One thing about it, there's no denial. The transition of what has occurred. This thing, I can tell you now, another month from now, you're going to hear about another disease. Let me tell you about these diseases. None of them is greater than the name of Jesus, okay? Anyway, so I said earlier as I was reading the Pharisees, and Jesus picked, God picked the perfect man, because Nicodemus was an upright man. He was a balanced, I would say. That's the only word I can think of right now. He wasn't a zealot. Open man, and he was open, and that's what you have to have, an open mind. You have an open mind and an open heart, and God can go to work with you. But to begin the process, you have to open up and ask him to come into your heart. So pray this prayer with me. You don't have to have a full breakdown on how it means, because again, God will. When I started this journey, I didn't know anything either. And I don't know a whole lot now, comparatively, okay? But just pray this prayer, and that'll get the ball rolling. Because one thing I can say, once you pray this prayer, something happened to you and you die, you go to heaven. You get to stay there, and you finish your training up there. You get to meet people that we have to wait to meet. So that's another guarantee. And you access the promises of God. So, I mean, it God will, when you're new in Christ, God will treat you like a baby. He'll give you latitude, and he'll do things for you that he won't do for me, because I know better. It's like we expect more from an adult than we do a child. But anyway, it begins with this. Say this prayer. Father God, I believe what I've heard about your son, Jesus. I believe that we were all born in sin, and I believe that you sent your son to die for our sin. And I accept and acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I accept your offer of forgiveness. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. And Father, I thank you. I believe I receive it. I believe I am born again, and I believe I have eternal life. And I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am born again. Hallelujah. All right, so we're still on this because this is what it's about. This is what it was always intended to be about, and this is what it is going to be about. And remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom.
I know you can.